The downtown east side has long been described as the poorest postal code in Vancouver, Canada. But nowadays, people in new high-rise condos can look down at folks who sleep in the street. Much of the development came with the hosting of the Winter Olympics in 2010. Ellen Woodsworth was a city councillor opposed to the Olympics and supportive of public housing and the homeless.
During the Olympics, the eyes of the international media were on Vancouver. They saw the beauty of the mountains, the ocean, the potential of it as a young city. And people started looking around for inexpensive land. And obviously the downtown east side had a lot of inexpensive land.
The downtown east side community did not welcome the international developers. They'd been organizing since their experience of Vancouver's first mega-tourist adventure, the World Exposition on Transportation and Communication, in 1986.
People had been forced out of the Patricia Hotel and many other hotels when people came to Vancouver for Expo, and one person actually died.
That was in 1986.
Yeah. People in the downtown east side remember that. People go to the downtown east side because there is a very supportive community. First Nations people often go there because there's a good community of First Nations people, so you can find people who speak your language, who understand how the cities work and can help you find resources, including affordable housing. So everyone was very afraid that with the Olympics, that SROs, single-room occupancy hotels, would be converted into backpackers' hotels, which they were, that the cost of the housing in the downtown east side would go up, which it did, and that, you know, there would be gentrification because of the international media attention.
Activists on the downtown east side recognized that international media attention could be a two-edged sword. Jean Swanson is the author of Poor Bashing, The Politics of Exclusion, and founder of the Downtown Eastside-based coalition End Legislated Poverty. Was there any indication that the Olympics might be good for housing for the poor and homeless people?
Well, in 2006, we knew that the Olympics was coming in 2010, and we got together and thought, well, how can we use the Olympics to embarrass the government into doing something about housing. So we started thinking that way.
When the mayor unveiled the Vancouver Olympic countdown clock in February 2007, downtown Eastside activists were right there with a homelessness clock of their own.
The one with the red hair and the blue jacket, Wendy, you are the spokesperson.
In 2002, 600 people were counted as homeless in Vancouver. In 2005, that number jumped to 1,291, and people believe there's more there. And in 2006, 28 hotels were sold for more than double or triple the assessed value in the downtown east side, and they represent well over 1,000 units of housing. It's probably closer to 1,500 units of housing. That's one quarter to one-fifth of the entire housing stock in the downtown east side is all of a sudden at risk of becoming immediately unaffordable, right? Because, you know, if you have a $3 million mortgage, you need to charge higher rents. And there's no protections in place, and there's escalation of the speculation.
There were some so-called sustainability clauses in various Olympic agreements, one of which was about housing, where the Olympics was supposed to be good for housing.
Again, Jean Swanson. Her coalition reluctantly joined the government's inner city inclusivity housing table, which brought together many sectors, including business. Their mandate was to tell the city, provincial, and federal governments how to implement their housing sustainability commitments.
We got unanimous recommendations for higher welfare rates, building 3,200 units of housing, buying hotels, and having housing at the Olympic Village be social housing. And in fact, our recommendations were so good that the government refused to hold a news conference announcing what they were. And we had to leak the report. But the good thing about it was that it let us set the bar as to what the Olympic housing commitments were. So we defined them, and basically they were to build 800 units of social housing a year, which of course wasn't done, but it let us continually point out that the commitments were not being made.
The activists protested and picketed Olympic events to bring their demands to the government and Olympic organizers. For 3 years in a row, the community hosted Poverty Olympics.
Well, I understand there is another, some kind of Olympic thing that's happening someplace else in BC. With a $6 billion budget, this is our Olympics. $6 budget. Thank you very much.
The Poverty Games had sporting events. Competitors had to jump over housing hurdles and navigate the Broken Promise slalom. Poverty Olympics mascots like Itchy the Bedbug and Scratchy the Cockroach drew attention to the conditions many residents in the downtown East Side faced. And the Poverty Olympics torch relay took the message farther.
It's a six-day epic trip through 10 communities, almost 100 kilometers, and we have one torchbearer who pushes a big 10-foot, 200-pound torch.
Oh, beautiful.
Watch out, watch out, watch out! Sorry, our torch is quite tall, and we really have to watch for overhanging trees on the sidewalks. We just ran into one.
The torch relay kept the negative impacts of the Olympics in the public eye as the cost of the Games skyrocketed from a predicted $1.2 billion to at least $6 billion.
We've just been really blown away by all the people talking to us and telling us their stories, their struggles, working two jobs to get by, to put food on the table, having their hours cut, not having the retraining opportunities that they want. And I just want to say that BC wins gold for having the worst child poverty rate in the country for the sixth year in a row. 1 in 5 children in BC living in poverty. So most British Columbians agree with us that too much money's been spent on the Olympics, and most British Columbians want the government to do something about these issues of poverty and homelessness. They actually want the government to commit to some kind of poverty reduction plan.
The struggle continued throughout the Olympic Games. After the opening ceremony in February, activists set up red tents for homeless people on a vacant lot in the downtown East Side. Tent City offered publicity, safety in numbers, hot food, and homegrown entertainment. Gene Swanson sees the organizing as partial success.
Did the government do anything towards any of the commitments?
Well, yeah, they did. What we got was in 2007, the province bought about 25 old hotels, and they also made a commitment to fund housing on 14 city sites, which is about 1,400 units of housing. So it didn't add up to much, you know, from 2007 to now, it maybe added up to 250 units a year, nothing like the 800 that we need, but it was better than nothing.
So do you think that there would have been nothing at all if it wasn't for your ability to put pressure during the Olympics?
Well, I don't know. Can't say for sure, but I think the pressure probably helped.
6 of the promised social housing buildings are completed as of summer 2012, but other social housing has been torn down and a major shelter closed. Reporting for Making Contact, I'm Frieda Worden.